We're in the heat of summer, sir, right? All right, I'll tell you what, it's a pleasure to be here. Brother Doug invited me, maybe 3 weeks ago or so. And Brother Doug and I, we have a history. Brother Doug and I go back a few years. In fact, I'll never forget, my wife and I, after we got married, we were moving her out and moving into the house together. And we needed help. Needed help moving, and Brother Doug was there. He was one of the few students, I believe from youth group at that time, who came out and helped us. And I will say, I gave Brother Doug a souvenir. He was working hard. He was loading the trailer for us, putting things on, and a bungee cord somehow had missed and just snapped back, and that bungee cord popped him right in the chin. And still to this day, you can probably go up to him and ask him. You can say, hey, Brother Doug, do you have a souvenir from Brother Eric? And he'll probably show you that scar on his chin. So we go way back. And then Brother Doug and I also had the pleasure of getting ordained together to the ministry. That's been a while back now. So I tell you what, I was so thrilled that Brother Doug and I were on that ordination team together, because they grilled us. I mean, they grilled us for probably 3.5 hours, you know. And Brother Doug has his scripture memory down a little bit better than I do. So I was so thankful that I could rely on Brother Doug and we could tag team and help each other out. So that was such a blessing. So Brother Doug's obviously down in Dallas. My daughter, Eden, is down in Dallas as well. She's a teenager. So she's down there with the youth conference. My son, he decided to go help his Meemaw and Pawpaw for the summer. So he's working on the farm. And he's been helping Pawpaw out and pulling calves and all that fun stuff, you know, on the farm. So he's been working hard. That's good for him. And then my wife is here with me. She's the only family member I brought with me today, though, because my teenagers are elsewhere. But this is my wife, Miss Sarah, and she's with me tonight here. And we've been married, I guess, 22 years now, right? Yeah, 22 years, yeah. Old enough to have teenagers. And I tell you what, teenagers will improve your prayer life. Because when you have teenagers and they're both driving, it makes me pray a lot more often. All right. Well, tonight, the thing that the Lord kind of put on my heart was basically a kind of two devotions that I had on two different mornings, and kind of just the Lord put those together. So we'll see what the Lord has for us, and my hope and prayer is that it's truly a blessing for you as well. If I were to give tonight's sermon a title, I would call it Feeding One's Faith. Can you say Feeding One's Faith? Feeding one's faith. All right. So before we dive into Scripture, let me just ask you some group interaction questions here.
That was faith, not faith, right?
Correct. Correct. All right. Feeding one's faith. Feeding one's faith. All right. So a few questions before we get started with tonight's Scripture. All right. Raise your hand if you ate today. All right. Good. All right, now then, show me on your hands, show me how many times you ate today. All right, I had 3 meals. I had one before going off to school. I'm also a vice principal as well, so I went to school today to work. So I had 1 meal there, I had one for lunch, and then I got home and had one for dinner. So I noticed, can you show me on your hands one more time? How many meals today? Okay, all right. Well, we all had meals. That's good. Now, let me ask you another question. Have you ever skipped a meal? Oh, yeah. Have you ever skipped an entire day of eating? Ooh. Now, I could ask, did anyone skip today and then see who's fasting or not? No. But fasting, obviously, is a great thing to do. It kind of shows the Lord our sincere heart. But when you do skip a day of food, do you notice? Can you feel it? The stomach starts to rumble, right? All right, how about this? Have you ever gone maybe half a week without food? Ooh. You're going to really feel it then, aren't you? Your stomach's going to be talking to you about that. How about this? How about you skip an entire week of meals? All right, eventually your body's going to start telling you, isn't it? Now, what we're going to do is we're going to take our faith, our life, our spiritual growth, our spiritual walk, and let's look at that. Because in our spiritual walk, we should also be feeding and nourishing our faith day by day with God's Word. But you know, sometimes we skip meals. And sometimes it's days. Then other times it might be from a Sunday to a Sunday. Ouch. Well, if we do that physically, our body notices, doesn't it? If we do that spiritually, will that have an impact on us? Absolutely. So let's examine feeding our faith this evening. Let's open up with a word of prayer, and then we'll dive into Scripture. Let's pray. Gracious Father, I just pray that You just use the power of Your Word. Father, may I just get out of the way and let Your Word work. And I just pray that You just use this evening in all of our lives, my life included, encourage us all to ensure that we are daily feeding upon Your Word. Build our faith, Father. Not just for ourselves, so we can grow closer to You, and so that we can be more effective in sharing You with a world in such need. We ask Your blessings on this evening. It's in Christ's name we pray. And everyone said, amen. All right. So without incremental nourishment throughout your day, your bodies are going to be telling you about it. Your body is going to tell you that you are lacking food. Now the same is true of our faith. Just as our bodies feel it when we're not giving it proper nutrition, our faith is also impacted when it isn't getting proper spiritual food. Now, when our faith isn't getting consistent incremental nourishment from God's Word, it weakens. And the weakening of our faith will stunt our spiritual growth. And it will cause us to be less effective in sharing the love of Jesus Christ to a world in desperate need. Now then, Jesus claimed to be our spiritual food in Scripture, didn't He? Remember in John chapter 6, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Amen. So in John chapter 6, then He goes even further. And then in verse 51, Jesus goes further and He says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. And if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Praise God. How many of you guys have tasted and seen that the Lord is good? How many of you have tasted the salvation of Jesus Christ and now you have eternal life? That's something to celebrate. That's something to be excited about, isn't it? So praise God, because we've tasted the bread of life, we can live forever. Now once we believe in Jesus Christ's perfect life, once we believe in His sacrificial death and His miraculous resurrection, we can enjoy His salvation. The benefits of eating of the bread of life. Following our miraculous salvation, we're called to grow in our faith. We're called to not just stop at salvation, right? We're called to continue a walk to be ambassadors for our loving Lord and Savior. But unfortunately, as you all know, and as I admit, unfortunately, sometimes it's too easy to fall into a trap of letting our faith get stale. Maybe even stagnant. Sometimes the newness of our salvation maybe wears off over time. And remember David? He said, oh Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation, right? The joy of my salvation. So let me ask you a question. Got some group interaction here. This right here is a mug root beer out of my fridge. It's actually still cold. How many of you guys would gladly drink this caffeine-free, zero-sugar mug root beer? No, you're not a root beer fan. Oh, so that drink right there, if you opened it up, you expect a certain freshness, don't you? You expect it to be carbonated. You expect it to be refreshing. Have you ever opened up a can and kind of left it and kind of forgotten how long you left it there? And then you pick it up thinking it's still fresh and new and you, whoo, you drink and you go, whoa, this thing's old. This thing's stale. You know, I had that happen a couple of nights ago. Sarah Lynn, you'll testify that what do I always put on the windowsill next to our bed? What I always put there? We keep this pitcher of fruit punch that she just continually keeps with fresh fruit punch. Sometimes I even refill it. And so one night I came into bed, and what I'll do is I'll fill my cup up with fruit punch and I'll sit it beside my bed on the windowsill. And well, I just so happened to get another cup, and I had two cups of fruit punch in my windowsill. So she's already in bed. I come in and I get ready to lay down in bed, and I need to take my pill. So I grab my pill, pop it in, and I grab one of the cups. Woo! It was nasty. I grabbed a cup that was old. The fruit punch had sat there for probably a week. I didn't grab the fresh cup, and it was sour. It was pretty gross. So my fruit punch had gotten stale. But the reality is, I know that's just a simple Kool-Aid example or a simple root beer example, but the reality is, can we allow our faith to become stale when we're not feeding it, when we're not nourishing, when we're not maintaining and feeding our faith? Now, our faith feeds on the very words of God. Without a steady diet of God's Word, our faith can become weak. And you might ask, well, how do you know this, Brother Eric? Because I've experienced it. I've experienced times when I've allowed my faith to become weak. Or you might say, well, Brother Eric, how do you know? How do you know your faith can grow stale? Once again, experience. But you know, the Bible gives us a lot of clues. The Bible tells us several clues that our faith needs feeding. So I could tell you from experience, but let's go to a much better source. Let's go to God's Word. Let's see what God's Word has to say about feeding our faith continually. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. I know many of you could probably quote this. In fact, here, we'll do it this way. I'll start reading it. You see if you can fill in the rest of the verse. It's incredibly common. So Romans chapter 10, verse 17, tells us about faith. It says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So faith grows when we hear God's Scripture. So does the absence of Scripture in our day-to-day walk, in our day-to-day life, can that weaken our faith? Let's look at four specific places in Scripture. Four specific places that speak to this, that speak to the power and the life-giving words of our Savior and our God. His hope and His desire to fill us and to energize our faith. So let's first travel to Psalms. Psalms chapter 78, we'll look at verses 5 and 7, or 5 through 7. In Psalms chapter 78, verses 5 through 7, the psalmist David tells us how God's law, or God's Word, impacts our faith. David writes this, he says, He, God, established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. So God is saying, I'm giving Israel, I'm giving you my word. Now take that word, make it known to all your children. Why? So that the generation that come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare to them, to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. In other words, the aim of teaching God's Word to our children in our homes is to foster hope, to build their confidence in God, that they might set their hope in Him. Now, if our children's faith in God can grow as they hear His Word, can our faith in God grow as well as we hear and partake in God's Word? Absolutely. Let's go to another scripture. Let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 22. We'll look at verse 18. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 18, it speaks about the life-giving power of God's words. It says this, "For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them, if thou keep God's word within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips, that thy trust may be in the Lord." First of all, this verse tells us that God's Word is pleasant. It's something to savor. It's something to enjoy. And then we're admonished to keep His words within us, to speak of them often. Why? So that thy trust may be in the Lord. You see, when we hear His pleasant words, it builds our trust and our confidence in the God of the universe. His words edify and they encourage our faith. Finally, let's compare two scripture passages. We're going to go to Psalms and we're going to head to Jeremiah. And in these two scripture passages, God gives us a picture lesson, an object lesson. He gives us the image of a strong tree. So, I grew up on the farm. I grew up in the country. We'd chop wood. We'd cut wood. We heated our house with firewood. Some of you guys probably do that too, right? All right, so I'm guessing we probably all have a lot of experience with chopping down trees and cutting wood around here. So let me ask you guys, what's a tree in northwest Arkansas that's just a strong and mighty tree? Oak. Which one? Hickory. Hickory, okay, all right. Oak is the one that came to my mind as well. Hickory, that's good, yeah. So let's take the image of that. A strong, mighty, I'll pick oak since I heard that first, that's what came to my mind as well. But I can tell you, an oak tree is mighty and strong. In fact, I've seen two incidents of that recently. My father, I was on the phone with him the other day, and he told me that a big, giant oak tree in their rental home fell over. And this thing is, I mean, it's huge. Now, there's another tree in our neighborhood. I don't know if you remember a few, it was about a month ago or so, that the windstorm came through and impacted a lot of homes in our area. There was hail damage. And there were some mighty oak trees in our neighborhood that completely came down. Now, out of the oak trees I've seen, they're hard to mess with. They're tough. They're stout. It's good, healthy chopping. Builds muscles. But you know, those oak trees don't crack and fall very often. Usually, if they crack and fall, it's because the ground is saturated in moisture. And then a wind comes by and then they uproot. They're so strong, they don't break. They're so strong, the whole thing comes up and the roots and all. So that's a mighty tree, isn't it? That's something strong. Well, Scripture tells us we're to be like that strong tree. Not blown over, not tossed away with the wind, but to be strong. So let's look at two passages of Scripture that tell us to be like a mighty oak, like a strong tree. The first one is Psalms chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Psalms chapter 1. We'll look at verses 2 and 3. Psalms So Psalms chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 says, "But His delight is in the law of the Lord." Isn't that? That's God's heart for us, isn't it? That our delight be in His Word. And David's writing this, "Oh, my delight is in the law of the Lord. And His law doth he meditate day and night." You see, if you meditate on God's words, it says, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doth shall prosper." So here we read that meditating on God's holy word, on His words that should be bringing delight and pleasure to our soul, that meditating on His words will bring fruit into our life. That it brings prosper into our life, a goodness into our life. So meditating on the very words of God makes you like that tree. Strong, fruitful, and productive. Let's also look at Jeremiah. In the book of Jeremiah, we're also looking at our faith being compared to a tree. So in Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8, we see that same picture in Scripture, that same object lesson of what it's like to look like a strong, mighty oak or a strong, mighty tree. So Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8, use this tree analogy as well. It says here, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat come." Sounds like summer's right now, doesn't it? "But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." So in our previous scripture, it says that meditating on God's word builds our faith. Here it says in Jeremiah that trusting in God's word makes you like a tree. So which one is it? Which one makes us strong and mighty like a tree? Is it meditating in God's word? Or is it trusting in God's word? You guys already know the answer. It is both, isn't it? It is absolutely both. So meditating, as mentioned in Psalms, and trusting, as mentioned in Jeremiah, make us strong. Like a strong tree, it builds up our faith. So they both feed our faith. As we meditate on God's Word, it's building trust in who God claims to be. So the person who meditates on the Word of God feeds his or her faith. And when we feed our faith, it is building our trust and confidence in the one we're reading about, isn't it? It's building our faith and confidence in Him. So my friend, your faith needs to feed on God's Word, doesn't it? Your faith, my faith, needs to feed on the words of God, because His words are what our faith trusts in. Yes, God gave us faith at the moment of salvation. Praise God, right? And the devil can never snatch that away from us. Amen? But that same faith that we were given at salvation needs to grow and develop. It'll never go away. I'm not saying it'll ever go away. But it needs to grow and develop, right? And it only grows, it only develops through meditating on God's Word, through trusting in the Word that we're reading. So let me ask you a question. I always like to make my sermons kind of a real life application. So let me just ask a few questions. And you don't have to answer out loud. You've answered out loud on a lot of others, but you don't have to answer out loud on this one. And I'm asking the same question of me. Do you ever get maybe dissatisfied with some aspect of your Christian walk? Or some aspect of your Christian faith? Maybe you lack courage that you need. Maybe it's the joy of your salvation's dwindled. Maybe it's the purity of your thoughts are a struggle. You name it. I mean, there's so many areas of our faith, right? So many areas of our Christian walk. But I can promise you, if we're feeding our Christian walk, if we're feeding it continually, it's going to help you combat those things. It's going to help you grow in those areas. I recently attended a conference down in Dallas. Same place Brother Doug is tonight, right? So I attended it was an educational conference down there. And I heard John Piper present a sermon to the attendees. And John Piper, does anybody know that name, John Piper? He's a theologian. Don't agree with all of his theology, but he made a statement that stuck. He made this statement. He said, God is glorified when we are satisfied in Him. So when we have satisfaction and delight in our God as we read His Word, it brings Him absolute glory. And oh, that's His heart for you and I, isn't it? He doesn't want us to see reading His Word or being in His Word as a drudgery or just a checklist, does He? He wants us to take it in, to enjoy it, to love His Word. Not just as a duty, not just as a task, but He wants us to partake in Him. So, are you getting satisfied and fulfilled with God's Word? Now, you guys all told me, everyone ate today, right? But how many Christians will go for a period of time without feeding their faith? I mean, physically, we don't do it one day and we're like, ah, I want food. Right? We get hangry. Spiritually, we need the Word of God just as desperately, if not more, than we physically need food. So, you might be thinking, well, how do I get more of God's Word? Hey, congratulations, you're here tonight. Right? We're all getting His Word tonight, so that's good. And I get it. Sometimes you're going, well, I don't have the luxury of opening a Bible every hour. You know, I mean, how do I get God's Word more and more? So I get it. We have work to do. We have children to care for. We have people to interact with. We have life, don't we? So I would encourage you to do this. Consider your habits. Consider your day-to-day habits and rhythms that you have in place. We all have them, right? We all have habits. We all have rhythms. We all have daily routines. So let's consider our habits. How can we interject and ensure that those habits include more and more doses of God's Word? More feedings. So that we're snacking on God's Word all day long. And not just maybe going to the buffet every Sunday. So consider your habits. Habits form you. Can you repeat that? Habits form you. Take the habit of eating. I'm sure we've all heard this saying, you are what you eat, right? Well, I'm also a science teacher. That's quite literally true. Because when we eat our food, it goes in our stomach, our intestines absorbs the nutrition, and then ships that nutrition to all of our cells. So literally every cell of your body is made of the ingredients from the food that you ate. So you are what you eat. It's pretty true. If I'm eating a healthy diet, hopefully I'm having a healthy physical body. If I'm having a bad, unhealthy diet, then that's going to impact as well, right? So we are what we eat. Our eating habits, it's a habit. Habits form us. Let me share a testimony with you. I recently heard a young man, his name is Justin Early. Justin Early, he got saved as a teenager. God called him to do mission work, and he went to China. Of all places, China, right? So he went to China for several years as a missionary. Now, eventually over time, the Lord started changing the desires of his heart. And basically, the Lord told him, I want you to switch, and I want you to go back to America and go into the law field. Yeah, that's a big switch, isn't it? Going from missionary to China to an ambassador for Christ in law. So, as part of his testimony, he made the move, moved his family back to America. They had kids, and he starts doing the law school thing, you know, going to school, doing that. And he eventually gets into law practice. I mean, he's professing Christian, right? Former missionary. And he said he was doing all the American things, all the American culture, everything you have to do to climb the ladder in the law field. And he said, one morning I woke up, I was shaking and trembling, I didn't know what to do with myself. He said, I had my wife take me to the ER. He was experiencing a panic attack, an anxiety attack. I can't relate to those. I haven't had those. But I know some people who have, and they're real. And they feel like you're in a cave. But this young man, former missionary, professing Christian, found himself in the emergency room. Not really knowing what's wrong. He didn't know what was wrong with him. So he then got started in some counseling, some good biblical counseling. And his counselor helped him figure out some problems. And the problem had become that his habits were controlling him. But his habits had become unhealthy. You see, when he was a missionary, he was in God's Word. He was doing all the things you're supposed to do, right? Then he came back and he starts doing the American lifestyle and start climbing the corporate ladder and getting a law degree. And he said, I would literally wake up from my sleep if I slept that night. The first thing I would do is roll out of my bed, and I grabbed this thing. He said the rest of the day, that consumed him. Answering emails, responding to people's need, responding to the clients. The bad habits that he allowed to creep into his life led him to a lifestyle that he knew was wrong. A lifestyle far from God. And although he was a professing Christian and a former missionary, his faith had become very stale. Now, did he lose his faith? Did he lose his eternal life? No, praise God, we can't do that, right? But his faith had become emaciated, incredibly weak, to the point that he was riddled with anxiety. And he said, he realized through this experience, through going to the ER and figuring out what was going on in his life, he said, I realized that I had become a worshiper of self. I was doing everything like society says to do, the American way, and I had become a slave to my own habits, bad habits. In fact, he said this statement, he said, Your habits affirm what you're really worshiping in your own life. And he said he realized at that moment that he wasn't worshiping God. He was worshiping career. Neglecting family, neglecting his Lord, neglecting his Savior. And it had taken him to the hospital. So our habits affirm what we really and truly are worshiping. Our spiritual formation, or our lack of spiritual formation, is directly impacted by our habits. Those day-to-day habits, those day-to-day routines, those day-to-day spiritual disciplines. So as I said earlier, congratulations, you're feeding your soul tonight, aren't you? By hearing God's Word. Now I would encourage you to continue feeding your faith. Consider your daily habits. What are your rhythms? What are your routines? Your rhythms and routines may look different than mine, because we live different lives. We all have different rhythms. We all have different patterns. We all have different routines that we follow. So consider your habits. Getting up. Getting ready for your day. Going off to work. Going off to school. Nobody knows. If we had any kids here, they'd be like, ah! They're excited. It's still summer, right? But consider your habits. Your day-to-day habits. Maybe going to work. Maybe family meal times. Maybe just family times in general. Or even the time we spend on those devices. The fellow I was telling you about earlier, Mr. Early, he said, in my house, I have an hour free technology time every single day of my life now. And he said, I have my own rule. I said, his rule is scripture before phone. You see, because his phone and his emails were driving bad habits. So his new habit now is scripture before phone. So I'd encourage you, just consider your daily rhythms, your daily habits. How can you add an extra helping? Maybe you can add an appetizer here of God's Word or a snack there. How can you add more feedings of God's Word? Let's feed our faith so that it grows strong. Amen? Like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Amen. Isn't that the kind of faith you want? So I would encourage you, let's just take a moment. Take a moment of just stillness and just consider your daily rhythms, your daily habits. Where could you sprinkle maybe a little more of God's Word? Where could you add a little bit more of His life-giving Word in your life? So just take a moment to think about that. White River, brothers and sisters in Christ, may the spiritual nutrition and sustenance found in God's Word feed your faith day by day, making you strong, making you fruitful, and maybe you be like a strong and mighty oak, not a stale root beer. Amen. All right.